Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're starting a new section this morning, Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 23. Remembering that the theme of Colossians is that every believer is complete in Christ, completely fulfilled in every way, shape, and form spiritually through Christ. That all of God was in Christ, and when Christ dwells within a person's life, they have all of God. In verse 4 of chapter 2, Paul, in his expressions of pain, says that there are people who come in among you that deceives you with persuasive speech. That's what false teaching is. It's very persuasive. It appeals to human logic and human reason and even the human flesh or frame of mind. So he says false teachers will come in with persuasive speech. But the precepts that he taught them in verse 6, he says, this is the bottom line, that as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, in this same way be continually walking in him. He said the same thing in Galatians chapter 3 in the first three verses, that how did you receive the Spirit of Christ? Was it by faith or was it by the hearing of the law or the doing of the law? He says it was by faith. He says, as you have begun, are you by faith, are you now perfected by the flesh? The answer is no. We continue to walk with Christ by faith, not by human effort. And that's what religion is. Religion is human effort. You know when you are functioning in a religious version of Christianity when it takes your human effort to produce this religious teaching. Legalism within religion, legalism is human achievement. I practice certain laws in order to achieve perfection. But that's the false teaching. The false teacher said it's okay if you have Christ. They believed that Christ was Yahweh, the Messiah. But they said it takes Christ plus human effort or human works. And Paul says that is what makes it false teaching. All you need is Christ. You are complete in Christ. He has done it all and paid it all for you. There is nothing more to add to become perfect or to become complete. So they said it's not enough to have Christ. But the Jewish legalists said it's not enough just to have Christ, but you needed to keep the Jewish ceremonial law. Some groups even today say that if you are not keeping the Sabbath day, no matter what your belief is, you will not go to heaven because you're not keeping the Sabbath day. That's a very serious statement to make, and so it's a very serious thing to study out of the Scriptures, even though you say, well, I don't believe that, so I don't have to worry about it. You need to know what the Scripture says. Paul says in verses 9 and 10 that this presentation by the legalists are wrong because in Christ is dwelling all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all rule and the head of all authority. Therefore, with this, look at verse 16 for today. In verses 16 through 19, we have the protection of Paul. He says, I'm saying this for your protection, so that people do not rob you of your reward for walking by faith. Verses 16 and 19, the protection of Paul. In verses 20 to 23, the plea of Paul. But in verse 16 for today, and because of the time limits, this will serve as an introduction to you. There are two commands in verses 16 through 19. The first one is in verse 16, and the second one is in verse 18. Two commands. Both pretty much are saying the same thing, but they have different meanings. The first command in verse 16 is, let not anyone therefore judge you. Don't let anyone judge you with respect to a couple of things. And verse 18 says, let not even one person rule against you. The first one in verse 16, let not anyone therefore judge you. The word for judge is the judicial term that means to pronounce a sentence against somebody. In other words, they would come along and say, if you have violated some of the Jewish ceremonial law, and then they pronounce a sentence against you. For instance, you're not going to heaven, or you have lost your salvation. This word for judge is also in the present tense. It's a present imperative. It's prohibitive. Stop letting people judge you because of your not keeping of the Jewish law. The second command in verse 18 is actually an athletic term. Let not even one person rule against you. The term rule against you, kata brabuero, is athletic. Kata is against, and brabuo is to be a referee in a contest. So don't let anybody come along like a referee and take away your prize or rob you of your prize because they say your performance is not right. So let not anyone therefore judge you, and let not even one person rule against you. And all of this in context, because you are not keeping the Jewish ceremonial law. Let's take the first one in verses 16 and 17. Let not anyone therefore judge you. The word therefore means, in light of the fact that you're complete in Christ, don't let anybody come along and pronounce a sentence against you, as if to say, you're not forgiven of your sins, you have lost your salvation. Don't allow that person to pronounce against you a judgment. Let not anyone therefore judge you. And the way the Greek text is lined up, and I'm going to mention some technicalities to you, because even the false teachers, catch this now, this is frustrating, even the false teachers use Greek to show that their false teaching is correct. It's frustrating because, number one, if you don't know Greek, or number two, if you know a little bit of Greek, it can be, as he said in verse 4, persuasive speech. They can say, well, this guy just showed that the Greek proved that you need to keep the ceremonial law, except they don't have the technical critique, the hearing, the noticing, to notice when somebody is wrong in their presentation about what the Greek text says. So we're going to get into that a little bit. Let not anyone judge you, therefore, in two areas. There are two categories that we are not to allow people to judge us over. Number one, in food or in drink. That is, in the Greek text, that is one category, and it comes with the preposition in. There are two categories because there are two prepositions. Let no one judge you in food or in drink. So those go together. That would be the dietary laws of the Jews. Don't let anybody judge you. Or in respect, there's your second preposition. And everything listed here, the feast, the new moon, and Sabbaths, all go with the second preposition. All three go together. Or let no one judge you in respect of a feast, or of a new moon, or of Sabbaths. And notice how it's worded, plural, Sabbaths. Now, the false teaching of this, because as it's presented, there are two categories that people are not to judge you about because they, in and of themselves, were not meant to be kept by a believer in Christ in a legalistic, ceremonial way. So those who defend the keeping of the law, those who teach that believers must keep the ceremonial law, they take the second preposition and its phrase, in respect of a feast, or of a new moon, or of Sabbath days, and they change it. Because here's what the Greek says in that second preposition. First of all, let no one judge you in food and drink, or in respect of a feast, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbaths. So one fella, and I don't mean to make you run to YouTube and find this out, but some fella who seems to know a little bit of Greek, he's got a big white erase board up there. He's got the Greek all written out there, and he shows these conjunctions or. To show, as he says, that the terms or, and he actually shows a lexicon, up close lexicon, literal translation of these, is that when the same conjunction is found three times, it's literally translated neither, nor. So it literally reads, don't let anybody judge you in food or in drink, neither in respect of a feast, nor of a new moon, nor of Sabbaths. And so you look at that and go, yeah, and so what? How does that change things? He says, well, to show you, here's where it comes in, because he's very technical and very persuasive in his presentation. Except he gets to the neither, nor, and he says, now, just to relate to you in English, because it's hard in English to get the point across to what he's saying, is that we're going to change the neither, nor to be the word whether. Whether it's in a feast, or whether it's in a new moon, or whether it's in a Sabbath day. In other words, the text is talking about, let no one judge you in eating and drinking, whether this eating and drinking is found at a feast, new moon, or Sabbath days. He's not talking about, let no one judge you about the feasts, but rather the eating and the drinking, and the eating and drinking, whether it's found in, whether it's found in, whether it's found in. The thing is, though, that the conjunction neither nor doesn't mean whether. He changed it. He showed you in a lexicon where it says neither nor, and then said, and then to get the point across as to what in English better as to what this text is saying, we're going to change the neither nor to whether. And then his teaching comes off of that to show that Paul isn't teaching about not keeping feast, that Christians have to keep feast. So he's not saying that here. Well, he changed it in English. He even had a translation. He says, I have my own translation. And he says he showed it in his translation. And so that it better shows you that don't let anyone judge you in eating or drinking as you participate in a feast or a new moon or a Sabbath. So he's highlighting eating and drinking. not judge you as far as keeping feast, Sabbath days, and new moon, which his messianic movement teaches that Christians must keep. In the Greek text, there are two prepositions, there are two categories in which a believer is not to allow themselves to be judged, in food and in drink. And that's the Jewish dietary laws that's mentioned for us in Leviticus chapter 11. The Jewish dietary laws. Don't let anybody judge you about what you're eating and what you're drinking, whether you're keeping the dietary laws or not. As we will show next week, Jesus showed that that's just physical. There's no spiritual aspect to what you put in your mouth. Or secondly, in respect of a feast or of a new moon or of a Sabbath. And as you can see, there's a second preposition that all shows that, yes, you also are to not let anyone judge you in respect of a feast, a new moon, or Sabbath. The second preposition is separate from the first preposition. The second one doesn't describe the first one. The second one is a second category in which a believer is not to allow themselves to be judged in respect of a feast. In Leviticus chapter 23, it lists the Jewish feasts that the Jews were to keep. Or of a new moon. In Numbers chapter 28, verses 11 to 14, this new moon, literally in the Greek, it's the new month. At every month, at the full moon, the Jews were commanded to bring a sacrifice in celebration of the new moon. It's called the new moon festivals. Or of Sabbaths. And notice our literal translation, how we gave it to you. It doesn't say Sabbath day or Sabbath days. It says Sabbaths. That tells us not only is he talking about a Sabbath day, but he's talking about the many Sabbaths that are found within the festivals. In the major festivals, the first day and the last day of the feast days are called a Sabbath day. So there are Sabbaths, there are plural Sabbaths that are found with the feast and with the festivals. And so the term Sabbaths there is in conjunction with these festivals, the feasts and the festival of the new moon. But then he says in verse 17, when he says, let no one judge you, it answers as to why, the content in verse 17. All of these things which are a shadow of the coming things. But the body is of Christ. The body being the substance, the body being the one that's casting the shadow. All of these external physical things that the Jews were to participate in were only shadows. They were not the substance themselves. But rather Christ is the substance. They all pointed to him. They all represented him. And so by participating in the feast, once you have received Christ, we have all of what those feasts represented. We have all of what the Sabbath represents. That's our rest in Christ. He is our Sabbath, we will see from the book of Hebrews. Christ is our Sabbath rest. Once we've received him, we have entered in to the rest and peace of God. So all of these things point to Christ. Once you have Christ, you are complete. All of the laws and all the ceremonial laws are now fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Now I want to give you one example before I close. Earlier we celebrated communion together. And as I told you, the Lord used the physical elements from out of the Passover meal to institute for us through the disciples what we call communion, the remembrance of Christ and that these things represented him. Well, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul dealt with a man who was in the congregation who was actually sleeping immorally with his stepmother. And he would not repent. And Paul said to them, the church, that they needed to take disciplinary action. And their response back was, well, he wouldn't repent. What are we going to do? His instruction in 1 Corinthians 5 was to remove that person from fellowship. And the reason why is told to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. He says, your boasting is not good. They would boast because they had the gifts. They would boast about the great things God was doing. And Paul says, you have sin in your midst that you are not dealing with. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven is leavening the whole lump? What he's making reference to is that at the Passover meal lasted one day. They celebrated the Passover. And then immediately afterwards, on the very next day, there was a seven-day feast started called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, leaven, a yeasting agent that they used in cooking, leaven represented sin in the scriptures. And so what they had to do for 7 days in the Feast of Unleavened Bread is go through their whole household and get rid of all the leaven in their household. Because if there's leaven up in the cupboards or wherever they were to store the leaven, if there was leaven, it represented sin. And so once a year, you've got to go through your house and get rid of the leaven, representing getting rid of sin in your life. So Paul now is alluding to this Feast of Unleavened Bread. He says, don't you know that a little leaven is leavening the whole lump? There wasn't any leaven. He's not talking about literal leaven and yeast. He's talking about one man in the congregation that just a little bit of leaven will spread, that sin will spread. So you already know from the Feast of Unleavened Bread that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It'll spread and affect everybody. He says in verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 5, purge out, therefore, the old leaven. Now, is he talking about yeast? He's talking about a person. This person must be removed. He is the leaven in your fellowship. In order that you may be a new lump, according as you are unleavened. For also Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed on behalf of us. Did you catch that? Christ was our Passover, who was sacrificed. It's the aorist passive. It's a one-time act in the past. He is our Passover lamb that was sacrificed for us. And through him, we all are made unleavened. Our sins are forgiven. Therefore, your spiritual condition as a fellowship, you have Christ as the head, as our Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us. And you have been made unleavened. But you have leaven in your midst, and it will affect the fellowship, so purge it out. For also Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Here is where the legalists jump on this text, 1 Corinthians 5:8. So then we should keep the feast, not of old leaven, neither in the leaven of malice and wickedness, but in the unleavened bread of sincerity and of truth. He says, since Christ is our Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us and made us unleavened, then we should be keeping and celebrating the Passover, which is spiritual, not physical. He didn't say keep the Passover feast every year. He's talking about removing a person from their midst because spiritually they have been made whole. And our Passover lamb has already been given. Christ is our Passover. Participating in the feast of the Passover is participating in something that is a shadow of who Jesus Christ is. Is a person violating the Bible by keeping the Passover? No. Keep the Passover feast all you want to. All it is physical elements that point to Christ. A Christian doesn't need to legalistically keep the feast of the Passover. They have Christ. Christ is our Passover. We experience the Passover feast every day as we walk with Christ. It's not telling them to keep the Passover feast so that this guy's sin in their midst won't count for anything. And that's what the legalists present from out of this text. That the leaven is leaven of malice and wickedness. That's spiritual, not physical. But unleavened bread is of sincerity of and truth. So you need to come as a fellowship in sincerity and truth, exposed before the very light of the Spirit of God, and be purged, spiritually cleansed of this person who has brought their leaven into your unleavened condition. So purge him. Release him. The text goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 5:9 that you are not to socially interact with those who are unrepentive because they will affect you. And so a prime example of how a legalist would take the text and say, well, if you want to be a church that is unleavened, you have to keep the ceremonial laws of the Passover feast every year. As if handling the physical elements is going to make a person more perfect and right before God. No, Christ, we are complete in Christ. He is our Passover. And I think it's interesting, too, just as a side note, and I know a couple of years ago some of us went to a Passover feast in town put on by Messianic Jews who invited everybody to come and share in the Passover with them. And if you are a legalist, if you believe in the legal law and the ceremonial laws of the Jews, then you have to think along the lines of the legalists. Because if you read the sacrifice that is supposed to be made for the Passover, it's supposed to be a lamb. And that night they served us chicken in a prescribed way. And interesting, too, that these feasts are described in the scriptures as needing to be celebrated in Jerusalem. So we have some major problems here. And they say, well, we just substitute. How do you do that if you're going to be a legalist? So if I, as a Christian, if I honestly believe that I have to keep those ceremonial laws to be right with Christ so I don't lose my salvation, don't give me chicken. Because my legalistic efforts won't be accepted unless it's exactly the way God prescribed it, in the place where he prescribed it. This is an introduction just to show you that legalists can be very persuasive. They can even use Greek. They'll use Greek, but it's the English that they use to switch the definitions around and its meaning to make it mean what they want it to mean. All of the things, the dietary laws, the feasts that the Jews celebrated, the festival of the new moon, of the new month every year, and the Sabbath, all the Sabbath days that they kept, were all a shadow, an outline, a pattern of what was to come, and that is Jesus Christ. So to have Christ is to have all of these things. He is our Passover. He is our Sabbath day. He is all of these things to us. Therefore, Paul is very pointed to protect believers by telling them, don't let anybody rob you of your prize of peace and grace that you now have with God through Jesus Christ. You're complete. As you start to try to keep laws and rules and regulations to perfect your walk with the Lord, you'll find yourself, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, you'll find yourself back into slavery. Keeping rules and regulations in order to be right with God. We'll get more into this next week. Let's close with prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. We thank you that we can take the time and spend the time to study your word, to study for what it says, and even to look through false presentations. Help us to take heed, to not let anyone judge us in the areas of what we eat or what we drink or the festivals and religious ceremonies we keep or don't keep, even among Christians, to not attend religious ceremony to some is a very legalistic way of judging other people if they do not participate. Help us to see legalism isn't just a Jewish problem or a Gentile problem in approaching the religious system of the Jews, but it is a man's sin problem, no matter whether he's Jew or Gentile, no matter what religious system it is. Man is continually in his own human effort trying to produce his own salvation. Help us to understand our completeness in Christ, that it's not about performance after being saved, but about peace and growth in the one who has saved us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.